find Scott. Why don't we clap our hands real quick just for to glorify God, but also to thank Scott for singing that song. You know, at one point during that, I thought, man, conviction could really fall in this place right now. And we could have a really big time with God in the altar about now. But we're past that time. We're in the preaching time now. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 is where we're going to be. Verse 10. Now listen, Scott asked me, he sent me a message earlier today. He said, what's the subject matter going to be? And I just sent him back. I said, does anybody really know you? Does anybody really know you? That's all. And I couldn't have, it wouldn't have made any difference what he sung or not. But what he's singing is almost exactly what I'm preaching to a certain extent tonight. So I want you to understand how good God works this together. You didn't? Awesome. That's even better. Why am I not getting it? Why is nobody getting my text? No, I'm just kidding. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Does anybody really know you? Does anybody really know you? I'll give you some context. Let's get some context before we get into Word. This is a letter to Timothy. This is Paul's, what he would call his spiritual son, right? Not his physical son. He didn't have a physical son, but he had a spiritual son, a man that he invited into his life, his personal life. And I want you to know this: there's no difference between your personal life and your spiritual life. If there is, then one of them's not real, and it's probably your spiritual life. Amen. And sometimes ministry, if it's really, really good, will bleed over into your personal life. And your ministry will go home with you. In my case, maybe you'll go home with your ministry. Amen? My first, what everybody else would call full-time ministry, was me moving in with six boys into a boys' home, me and my family. All right? So I moved in with mine. So you can't hide who you are. In those instances, when you ask somebody to come into your life, if you adopt somebody or you get somebody, and then here's the other one: if you're married to somebody, and if you're raising kids, you can't hide who you really are. Amen. You can say all kinds of things. You can say everything. I know how church works. You can come here and be anything you want to be. You can be a superstar here, but when it's really going on and somebody can be involved with you when you're not where you want to be. Amen. Where you can't put on a show. Y'all ready? Let's get into Word. It's really good. And I've never seen this before. I was looking at chapter 3, 1 through 9. If you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, more than likely you're going to those verses, right? If you've been in church, you're going to those verses, because we want to talk about perilous times. We're living in a time where 50-some-odd people get shot, 400 or 500 people get wounded. We're living in perilous, dangerous times. So I automatically went here, and I'm thinking, yeah, Lord, we're going to have to, let's expound on this. And then God showed me something else. And maybe it would have more impact on our world. But thou hast fully known, look at this, he's talking to Timothy here. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Let's break some of these down. Would that be all right with you? He let Timothy in his life and he says, you know my doctrine. He said, you've fully known my doctrine. See, sometimes your doctrine don't add up, your walk don't add up with your talk. Amen? But he says, you know fully my doctrine. Well, what I preach up here and what I preach at home, what I preach in my car, what I preach on the highway by myself, what I preach in the hotel room, what I preach in the tents and Paul's thing, what I preach when I'm frustrated, when I'm hungry, when I'm tired, when I haven't had enough sleep, when I've been mistreated. Golly, when I've got something, I'm going to preach right here for a minute if you don't mind. When I've got something in my head that might not even be reality, I'm serious, I'll come unglued right there. If you don't, I need to hear from you just as much as you need to hear from me right there. Is there anybody in here that's ever got something in your head and you don't even know if it's real or not? Amen? Now, I mean, you're at home and you're going through there and you're upset and you're aggravated and you're frustrated. Has that ever happened? Everybody, hey, Dad, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Right? Hey, Mom, what's going on? Mm-hmm. You seem awful aggravated. I'm not aggravated. Shut up. Man, cook your own meals. Wash your own clothes. Drive yourself to the store. No, God, y'all with me now? Do people know that you? And does that you still translate to somebody who's spiritual? Somebody who loves God? Can have flaws, but still at the end of the day say God's good? Well, I hope so. I don't know about you, but I had some real deep places with God, and most of them are not in front of people, they're at home. But those are where the consequences come in. That's where your sons are watching, your daughters are watching, your wives, your husbands, the people you get invested with, those are the people who are paying attention. God can use you on a stage, but what would it matter if the real people who know you couldn't stand by your funeral, your casket, and say two good words about you at the end, but you got total strangers who would say you were a hero? Paul's big right here. He says, you know my doctrine. Y'all want to know what my doctrine is? I hope you want to know. I'm your pastor. I'm going to tell you what it is. And hopefully it jives. Maybe we won't lose a member or 10 tonight. But I believe a man or a woman is saved by grace. I do. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross, and everything He did on that cross was to purchase our sin debt, cancel every ordinance that was against us. Amen? And by faith, we have to believe what He did on that cross and dying for our sins and being resurrected was enough to save us. And we believe that He's the Son of God and we repent and ask Him to be the Lord of our lives. That's what I believe. I believe that's how a person gets saved. I believe that's the end of the law. Amen? I believe it's the end of the law of making one righteous. You can't be any more righteous that by doing anything other than accepting Jesus Christ. Now I'm preparing for this message and I'm praying about it and thinking about it and mulling it over my head. And God said there's one more part of this message you've got to preach in your doctrine. That maybe some of you might not know that I believe. I believe there's fruits to your salvation. Why do I believe that? Because God said there would be. He said you would act different. He said if the old man has passed away, the new man will be resurrected and all things would become new. That means all of a sudden you're a regenerated person and the old man died and new things are starting to take place. You're going to start to say different things. Things like, God's good. Now I'll give you one better than that. I love you. Amen? No, I'm serious. That one's a tough for me because when I first got saved, I had to trash, delete, erase my definition of love. Did anybody else in here get their definition of love crushed when you got saved? My definition of love got crushed because my word was really lust and I didn't know it. Because I thought love was, what can you do for me? And love is really, what can I do for you at nothing returned to me? Oh my God. And that was a tough one. Because I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, I got to love this person even though they're not going to do anything else for me in return? Yes. Wait a minute, Am I going to love this person when they have the total opportunity to hate me, ridicule me, and say stuff about? Yes! Oh my God. That's real love. And when you really get saved, you start loving people. Guess what? That you didn't love before. I mean, you're like, I will give my life for this, even though they're rejecting me. There's fruits. Your vocabulary will change. Your actions will change. Your places of operation will change. Your identity will be changed. People will start to, they will say things about you and think things about you that you've never heard before. This still gets me. There's times when people come to me and ask me certain questions, and I promise you, I want to turn around and look behind me and see if they're talking to somebody else. My cousin, my brother, my aunt, my uncle, my friend, my mom, my daughter, my wife, we need you to come and talk or pray, or we need some guidance. And I'm like, oh, okay. Kind of forgot who I was. Because before we got saved, was nobody asking us to come help anybody, because we were no help to anybody. So I believe in my doctrine. I want you to know this. There's a change in your salvation. I'm not going to sit there and wrestle with you and argue with you and fight with you. But let me tell you something. I would be worried if I didn't start liking the things that I used to hate about God especially. All of a sudden, if I didn't like the Word of God, I'd be worried. If I opened that book and looked in it and I said, I don't agree with that and I'm not changing. You didn't get it. There's times I read that book and I say, I don't agree with that. I'm changing. Right now. This minute. Because I'm wrong and God's right. No questions. Amen? Especially when you read that and He starts working on your heart and mind and convicting you about what you're doing. You better worry if all of a sudden you come up against something right there and it says it's against what God says, and all of a sudden you're going to say, I'm going to do it anyway, despite of you, God. You better get on my plan. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. I tell you, you didn't get it. I mean, that's it. You're going to have some real fruits in your life. You're going to be a changed person. And if nobody sees the difference, you better worry about that. If all your old friends and acquaintances and work people, if they all come around you and go, you're good with me. I ain't seen nothing about you. Your doctrine should just kind of bleed out of you. You should say stuff. Amen? That kind of offends people and you didn't even know it was offensive. Do y'all remember Nicodemus? Do y'all remember when he came to see Jesus at night? Remember him? He sat on the Sanhedrin. He sat on a religious board of people. Amen? And that religious board of people Nicodemus sat on at one time had got together and said, we're going to condemn him unto death. He's guilty. And he said, do we judge a man before we hear him? And everybody turned on him. He didn't even realize he had said it. See, he was just doing his normal regular job, sitting with his normal regular people, and all of a sudden, he defended Christ before he knew it. Man, are we going to condemn a man before we even hear him? You know what they looked at him and said, are you from Galilee? Does the Messiah come from the Galilee? He's like, whoa. I didn't know standing up for Jesus was going to bring so much heat on me. Guess what? It will bring heat on you. People will notice. At first, when you first get saved, it'll be slight things. After you start growing a little bit, it's going to be bigger things, because you're going to say stuff like, I can't watch that. I can't listen to that. I can't go there. Nope, I'm going. I know I want to move on too. I'm sorry. We only got one in so far, or half of one. But listen, everybody else is going to do the thing that you love to do. Is there anybody in here that loved to do something before you got saved? And maybe you still love it? I ain't calling it. See, I'm just saying, hey, was something you enjoyed doing? But you fell in love with God, and when you have the opportunity to do the God thing or the thing you loved before you met God, you go do the thing that you love now, which is God, more than the thing God. Man, preacher, that's good preaching. I thought we'd get over that after a while. And everybody can't figure out why you're packing up and going to the house of God, or going to the God thing, or doing the God thing, going home and worshiping, going home with your family. And they're like, you never used to leave. You closed it down. You shut it. You stayed up longer. You stayed in better. What? I'm sitting here with a bunch of people don't know what I'm talking about. Why are you acting? Amen? Pray, but God, now you're the first one. Man, come on, man. This is going to be a good. I remember when the ball, man, we got a good team. Let's play. I'm like, nah, can't got to get to the house of God. That's crazy, man. Are they not having church next week? Yeah, but I don't want to miss what's going on tonight. Just like I didn't want to miss what was going to go on here, but I got to go. You say, well, it won't matter. Yes, it will matter. You know why? Because before I got saved, I watched a man leave. I watched him get in his car. I watched him drive off, and I watched him, and I went, God, I wish I had that kind of stuff. Amen? When I got it, man, it feels good, don't it? Because I'm going to keep on knocking. I'll keep on preaching until we have a fit. Because you know what God will do? God will make the times that you do get to do certain things even better and sweeter. Everybody else will be living on what everybody else is living on, and it'll be dull because they do it every day, every time they get an opportunity to. You'll get out there, and everybody else, you'll be like, man, this is the best. And God said, because I'm good. I created the good. I let you involve in the good, and I let you feel better than everybody. But then you don't, God, preach, Kevin. Listen, you don't have to come back home and feel bad when you've done it. You ain't got a bunch of strangers around. You got your wife and kids and family to come back to. How'd we get there from doctrine? God. I'm glad when God does stuff like that. I was worried about this being a 5-minute message. I'm serious. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. Manner of life. When your doctrine, it can be ruined by the manner of your life. What you preach can be messed up or muddied or murked by how you live. Notice he said, I preached my doctrine, or I knew you knew my doctrine fully, but then you also knew my manner of life. I've seen plenty of people that can rock it out in the house of God, but can't walk it out in their neighborhood, their job, or their home. And it's weird. Because guess what? God said it's like one of these fountains that it's got fresh water and salt water. Yeah, I'm preaching now. You got quiet. You don't know. They claiming to be a Christian, but when you go to get a drink out of them and they're not in the house of God, there ain't no telling what come out. Huh? Huh. You turn the spout and you caught them at the wrong time or said the wrong thing, and it wasn't hallelujah, praise God, it came out. Oh, ho ho, oh, that was not spiritual at all. Amen. Don't look at me sideways. You can get aggravated, frustrated, say something, get hurt. But I'm talking about if you are totally different all the time, and your manner of lifestyle can't be tested and tried. Amen. Somebody said, "How did you know you got saved?" There's a couple reasons I knew I got saved, but one of them was the words. When them words wouldn't come out, I knew God had done. But you believe God does miracles? Yeah. Because he changed my vocabulary. I used to paint in curse words. Never mind. Somebody knew what I'm talking about. Man, what I'm saying is I was an artist. I could paint you a picture and take you there. Never mind. Everybody else is spiritual, I reckon. But praise God, I'm telling you this, but when God changed me, when He saved me, they wouldn't come out. My wife could have testified to that. I mean, I'm talking immediately. I was in my, upset, tore out of the frame, mad, and I was mad, but guess what? You know why? The fountain had dried up. And I mean, I began to laugh like a hyena and cry at the same time because it was confounding to me because that's not who I was. God will do that to you on some levels. He'll take some stuff and totally change it. It'll baffle you. But God's going, hey, your manner of life can mess up your walk with Christ, your message. If your message, if your walk don't add up with your message, and people that move, the Timothys, the people who get close to you, and all of a sudden they're riding down the road and you act like a fool. Sorry, did I say that out loud? When you go off on people and get mad and aggravated and don't forgive and don't even look at them, man, I thought you was somebody. I mean, a double-handed worshiper. Never mind. I mean, quote Scripture, don't look there, praise God, hallelujah. I mean, you can't get over yourself. Two different creatures. People look at you kind of sideways. Well, I thought you was something. Wait a minute. This is, you know what you'd look like if you went one time and you put your head down, you got a drink of water, and it was nice and cool and refreshing, and the next time you come in and you got a good drink, and next thing you know, it was salty. I mean, you'd look around, wouldn't you, and go, who hooked this up? It's a mess. I mean, Sunday they was praising God and saying hallelujah, and this week it's, get out of my face. Shut your mouth. I hate your guts. Wait a minute. We must be all over something because, man, that's quite, you can drop a dime in here. This must be real. This must be real medicine right here. Either that or I must have had the wrong crowd. I might have got the wrong antennas mixed up, right? This was supposed to have been for somebody else. That's what it was. Preacher, you got the wrong crowd. Yeah. Manner of life, purpose. Somebody, do they know you? I'm talking about the people, do they know what your purpose is? Let me ask you a better question. Do you know? Do you know? If somebody come up to you and you've been a Christian for how long? What's your purpose with God? What has God got you doing? You just froze up. I don't even know what I'm doing. A man without a vision, people without a vision, a church without a vision, will perish. You should know what your purpose is and then go after it, because some of you know what your purpose is, but you won't go after it. You're scared. Your purpose is right there, and you know what it is. God showed it to you, but you don't know how it's going to work because none of us do. God works that way. He works that way. You can go all the way back to Abraham. Abraham, come out. He's like, from what? Your people, come out from them. Can't trust their mama, daddy, aunt, uncle, cousin, none of them. Come out of there. I'll be everything to you. Good. What's the plan? Come out. Come out. That's what God... Listen, do you have a purpose? Could you write it down on a piece of paper right now? And if you could write it down on a piece of paper right now, what are the steps you're taking to either fulfill it or are you doing it? Oh, I'm telling you. There you go, right? Or have we, man, we're right at the pit of challenge right here, aren't we? We're right here at the challenge, man. What? Wait a minute, but I'm glad you're saved. I'm glad you are in the family of Christ. What is your purpose? And if somebody really knew you, walked with you, and talked with you, could they name it themselves? He says, Timothy, you fully know it. Timothy knows it. You know it. Does anybody know it for you? Amen? You know what mine is? I'm going to reach the whole world with the gospel. You say, well, that's a big, lofty goal. I don't know if I'll get the whole world. But I went a whole lot further than I actually thought in my mind when I started. Amen? I told God, yeah, I'm going to reach the world. And you know, now I'm starting to, man, I got a little bit further than I thought. I thought I was just, some of y'all got desires, some of y'all got ministries in your heart, but you've never unleashed your faith to do the purpose. Somebody says, well, it wouldn't be a big deal. Would it be a big deal to one person? Well, it's a big deal because that one person then represents another person, because that person's going to tell, hey, somebody with purpose got involved in my life, and now I've got a purpose to get into somebody else's life. Does anybody in your life know that you have a purpose in their life? Do you remember, let me say it this way. He said, Timothy, you know my purpose. I guarantee if you went to Timothy and say, what's Paul's purpose? I don't really fully know all of Paul's purpose, but I know that he had purpose to get in my life and he wouldn't let me just be who I was. Amen? You know what Timothy said? He told Timothy at one time, he said, hey, Timothy, he goes, if you ever get down, stir up the gift that's inside of you. Amen? You know why? You know why the Bible's always telling us to stir up? Because it's natural to settle. No, it is. If you let anything, if you have anything and you mix it up and it's a good mix, eventually it'll all settle. I'm still preaching. And it'll settle. But you know what'll settle usually? All the good will go to the bottom. Amen? And Christians, we're like that, right? All of our good goes to our bottom when we just sit on it. Amen? That's why we have such a hard time of standing and going and doing, because we've settled. Standing on the promises of God, this song has made me a liar. Huh? We're going to sing and shout over there. Why in the world sing and shout somewhere if you've never sung and shout here? Woo! That old redback hymnal will make a liar out of you about 4 or 5 seconds. Don't make me sing, I'll never be ashamed. Sorry. Huh? What's your purpose? It's important. I mean, it's not as important as salvation. That's the most important thing. You get that took care of. You got eternity took care of. But you know what? God wants more out of you than just being saved. God, can I preach? Do you mind if I preach right here just a little bit more? Guess what? I love Peyton and all, of course. Hey, but when I brought him home from the hospital, I mean, I wasn't just satisfied. He was alive. I wanted him to eat. I wanted him to grow up. I wanted him to do great things. I wanted him to grow up. And then I got some goals for him a little bit higher and loftier than that. You know why? Because he's alive. We got that part took care of. That same thing God wanted. I mean, when he gave you spiritual life, when you come out of the spiritual canal and woke up, and you, oh! Remember, did anybody get excited when you got saved? You were just like a brand new baby. When you're hungry, you cry. When you mess, you cry. When you fall down, you cry. You cried out. Praise God. Well, somewhere along the line, you go, you know, I got a teenager now. I know what it's like. How you doing? Huh? I miss the days when he used to grab my hand and say, Dad, 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 Dad. Dad, just go here. Don't. If you still got a kid who grabs your hand and walks somewhere with you, you better cherish it. I'll go ahead. One of the greatest moments of my life last year, we went to a family thing. We all got worn out. You know how you do when you go to your relatives, especially your in-laws. Yeah, I mean, you're having the greatest time of your life, eating the great food. I got so tired at the couch with my in-laws. You know, I was like, you know what you do? You run out of energy because you're having so much fun. I'm being sarcastic now. But I was laying on the couch and I left my hand laid over, and my son, who's 12, is laying over there, and the next thing I know, he grabs my hand and he's holding my hand. I'm sitting there thinking, dude, don't let go. I'm not weird. He's not weird. It's just one of them times where you're sitting there going, man, I took for granted some times when he was holding my hand that I thought, man, I wish he wouldn't hold my hand right now, because I'd like to go a little faster. I'd love to go a little further. I would like to go over here. But I would think, man, why was I so dumb? And that's God in our lives. He wanted more from you. When he birthed you into the kingdom of God, he's got so much more for you. It's time for you to wake up and do that thing he's called you to do. I'm too old. Do it on a smaller scale. It'll get bigger. faith. All this is triggered by faith. All of it. You got to do everything by faith. You know what faith is? You got to act like you see it, but you don't see it. It's a thing far off. It's that vision where you think you just know God wants you to do it, and you can't tell anybody what the next step. I remember when I first got called to preach. I called my dad. I said, Dad, I think God's wanting me to preach. He goes, man, I feel sorry for you. I'm thinking God wants to, He wants to call me to preach. I'm really excited. He goes, I'm praying for you. It's going to be the hardest thing in your life. And I said, no, Dad, listen. No, I called you because you've been preaching for like 30 years. Tell me what it's going to be like. Because Kevin, I'd love to tell you, but I don't know what God's going to do in your life. Just trust Him. And if He's calling you, He'll take care of you. And He'll open every door. And every door that He don't open, He'll shut. Now you won't be able to get in it. But you got to trust Him. If I could tell you, He goes, so other people try to tell me what God is going to do in my life. But then when He started doing it, they would tell me that's the wrong thing. And I ran into that too. Can I tell you the first time I knew I was going to go into full-time ministry, and I told my friend that he was in full-time ministry. I said, God's calling. He's opened up this door. He said, you better not do that. That's a mistake. Now, he'd been doing it for a long time, and I thought, man, well, if anybody knows God, it's Him. I must not have heard the right message. No, I heard the right message. If I hadn't, I wouldn't be standing here right now. Knowing some of the people that I know. I got some Timothys in my life. So some of y'all are sitting here right now and you got ministries, you got purpose in your life, and you're sitting there going, but I don't know what it looks like. It don't matter what it looks like. Just do it. God will make it perfect. Well, I'm not qualified. Thank God. Thank God for that one. I'm not qualified. Join the group. I hate running into people that, oh, I'm super qualified. Get out of the way. You're going to get me killed. Because usually God doesn't even take your greatest qualifications. He takes your greatest weaknesses. It's weird. Y'all don't believe me, but I'm telling you the truth. He takes you the stuff that you feel the most uncomfortable with. Can I be real honest with you? When I first got into ministry, I didn't want to work with kids. I cringed. I love kids. Y'all know that I'm a big kid. I love kids. But I didn't want to minister to kids. I wanted to minister to everybody. Somebody said, you're going to be the youth pastor. I don't want to be the youth pastor. I want to be the pastor. I want to preach to everybody. My messages will hit everybody. I don't want to be put off of the kids. God taught me a lesson. You know what He did? Put me in a YDC. Right? They put me in a boys' home. I don't want to be with the kids. I'm with them 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Never mind. He does that stuff on purpose. Some of y'all are fighting against the thing that God called you to do because you don't feel like you're qualified to do it. You don't think you're the one to do it. You ain't got the person. But guess what? That's what God wants for you. You'll lean all the way over on Him and say, God, I shouldn't even be here. I shouldn't be doing this. And He'll go, yeah, you're right. But you know me. Can I say one more? I'm not smart enough. Don't use that excuse around me. Everybody in this room is smarter than me. And I know it. I'm just wise enough to know it. Man, I'm serious. Y'all are all smarter than me. When y'all are talking, I'm always going, I don't know what they're talking about. Amen? Because y'all are all smart people. You're an intelligent group of people. You know stuff. You think about stuff. And you got a, man, you got all you got, hammer. That's what I am. Blunt object. But I work with what I got. You work with what you got. Amen. All right, good. Y'all ready? Good. Faith. Do everything. Hey, God ain't got to lay everything out for you. Just do what He tells you to do. Long suffering. Don't give up. When you should give up, when everybody thinks you should give up, don't give up. And I'm not talking about little things here and there that you get into that ain't supposed to be. I'm talking about the purpose, the thing God called you to do, the things you're supposed to do. You can quit. Sometimes you might quit. You ain't quitting. Don't quit. Because you know what? There's people watching, those Timothys, people that really know you. They're watching you. And if you quit, they're going to quit. You know what I mean? They're going to give up. They're going to say, okay, that's a place where you give up. In faith, you don't give up. You don't quit. Not what you're supposed to be doing. Hey, you can go in. Your feelings hurt. tired, sick, head hurting, body hurting, aching, go back and you do it again. Because you know what? They want to see it. Your kids are watching, your wife's watching, your family's watching. Your Timothy's are watching. He said, you know fully my long suffering. Do you know, let's tie these together. The next one's charity. Do you know that's for me? I don't care about everybody else, but that's one of my greatest, if that's the greatest quality of love that I think there is long suffering. Amen. If I can make you wait or you can make me wait, you'll find out if it's love. Amen? If you can tell somebody, because the way we are today, we want something right away, give it to me. If somebody says, wait, you'll find out if they love you or not. I mean, I tell every kid that comes up to me and says, I'm in love with her. I am. They come up to me, I'm in love with her. I'm in love with her. I'm in love with him. I'm in love. Tell them to wait. If they can wait on you for a month, I say radical stuff like a year. I did. Somebody said, what do you think I should do? I said, tell them to wait a year. I'm a dad. Tell them to wait a year. That's impossible. I'll die. Try it. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is, what happens is, I tell them all the time, if they ain't willing to wait for you, when Jacob met his first wife, Laban said, will you work 7 years for her? Yeah. Seven, is that all? Huh? 7 years? That's all I got to get the one that I love? Yeah, I'll knock those 7 years out for you. Could you? I want to see that, don't you? I hope God's got like a Blu-ray DVD, I mean, high definition. I want to see him working and him look, crazy, she was my wife's up there. And then come to find out, he meant not seven, but 14. That's a bad deal. That's wrong. You tricked me. What do I need to get done? Come on, y'all didn't hear me. Half of y'all are tired. Check that on me 10 minutes ago. Listen, this is a bad deal. You tricked me, Laban. What else do I need to do? Where's the work? I ain't leaving without her. Huh? Rachel's worth it. Amen? If you're worth it, if worth love it, it'll wait. It'll wait and it'll be there. Amen? The work we do in the kingdom of God's worth it. Have long suffering. Suffer through it and love through it. Love people despite you and despite them. I'll say it again real quick. Love them despite you and despite them. Amen? Have you ever felt like you didn't want to love somebody? Love them anyway. You think Jesus really wanted to say, forgive them, Father, they know what to do? Yeah. His spirit, God, Jesus did. I guarantee you, his flesh man wasn't saying that. He said, well, how do you know? Because he's one of tempted in every way possible. If he was tempted in every way possible, he was tempted to say what he felt. Kill them all. Fair enough? When you've been beaten beyond all recognition, embarrassed to the point that you are embarrassed, you're hanging up on a cross naked before everybody, and everything's contrary, I'm preaching, everything's contrary, God's on a cross and you're living great, you're mocking of the man who made you, the clay saying to the potter, ha ha ha, you don't think he was ever tempted to be like, you want to really see something? You really want to see what I can do? Forgive him, Father, because that's what I really came to do. Sometimes you just got to say, forgive him, Father. Forgive me, Father. Whew, tough enough, right? Get out of your own way. I'm almost done. Praise God. I thought this was going to be a 5-minute message, and it ain't, right? Charity, patience. I hear this dumb statement most of the time I've been in the church. Don't pray for patience. Don't pray for patience. You don't have to pray for it. It's coming. Amen? If you're a real Christian, if you've been born again, you ain't got to pray for it. You ain't got to ask for it. He will run you through it until you get it. Until you learn how to deal with people the right way. He will keep bringing the same people, the same problem, the same issue, the same trial back to you until you have the patience to go through it. So if you don't like a certain situation going on in your life, you might as well start using some patience in it, because guess what? If that one goes away, it's the same duplicate person, same duplicate issue, same boss, same job, same trouble. Hello? You remind me of somebody. Are you all right? You're going to have some patience. That means you're going to have to wait through some things. You're going to have to be tried. Listen, If you can't be tried, you ain't got faith. If you can't be tried, you don't have a relationship. Amen. We'll read it out. Listen to what he goes through. Verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, was what persecution I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Listen to this. Paul was telling Timothy, he said, you've seen me go through all this stuff, and I still was a Christian. I still done the right thing. I still said the right thing. I still walked my walk. What I'm saying is, does anybody really know you? Would you allow anybody to get as close to you as Paul let Timothy get to him? And would you be able to let them share the narrative? Would you be able to let them say, hey, Timothy, you share all the things about me. You know them fully. What would they say about you? Amen? What would they say about you? And you say, what's the purpose of this message tonight, Kevin? To challenge the fire out of you. Amen? To challenge the fire out of you. To what? Find that purpose. Amen? To be long-suffering. To love without having to be loved. Amen? Let's all stand. I'll ask them to come and get a song of invitation. They'll sing.